the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So my brothers and sisters, now we come to the first Sunday of the Great Fast. We call it the Triumph of Orthodoxy. Many people associate this Sunday exclusively with the icons, with the reestablishment of the veneration of icons in the Orthodox Church. And certainly, icons place are in a large role in this feast, but they are secondary, because the icons depict He whom beforehand could not be depicted, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who also calls Himself the Son of Man, to also underscore especially that He became a man for our sake. So what we are feasting today, what we are celebrating in the triumph of Orthodoxy, is that Jesus Christ has given us a path, a way to be triumphant, to be victorious over our flesh. Now, anyone who is sensible about themselves, is honest about themselves, would be like Nathanael, who would say, "Can there be any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Where Nazareth is a metaphor for ourselves, for our own life, for our own humanity, for the kind of person we are. Now, Christians should not go around thinking themselves absolutely worthless without any good within them at all, because after all, God lives within us. But the good that is within us is because of God, and not for any other reason. So, if we look at ourselves without God, may it never be, then we would say, can any good thing come out of us? Oh yes, man can do good even without believing in God, without prayer, without fasting. Many good things are done by many people regardless of what they believe or don't believe. But we're talking about the ultimate good here, the ultimate peace, the ultimate holiness, ultimate happiness that we are called to have. That good cannot come out of Nazareth, cannot come out of us, without Jesus Christ. So the triumph we are celebrating is that through Jesus Christ we can have eternal life. Now for many people, words just are sort of flat things, sort of that have definitions. So eternal life to many people is just, well, it's the next life, it's the hereafter, it's going to heaven. Eternal life is to become what we are made for. Eternal life is to be what God intended us to be perfectly, completely holy and happy. Now, all of us have experienced in our life times when we did something good and we felt this warmth within us that it was a good thing. And this warmth is not from pride, although a false pride can definitely give this kind of feeling, but when we really felt that we did something that was worthwhile, that meant something, that was good, and we have a feeling within ourselves of peace. Now, unfortunately, this feeling of peace lasts very short while, because then we go on to the next things in our life, and we're distracted, and we fall down, and we get up, and it's a very tenuous feeling. But all of us, I think, have felt this. This peace. Imagine for yourself in your mind's eye if you were always at peace, if you were never concerned, full of anxiety about things, if you just always placed your hope in God, and no matter what, you were at peace. You know, the scripture that we read from the wisdom of Solomon about that, for the martyrs, we read during Vespers many times. You know, their going forth seem to be utter destruction, yet they are at peace. This is describing people who were sawn asunder, as the scripture says today. They wandered about in goatskins and sheepskins. The world was not worthy of them. They were tortured in many ways. They were hungry. They were naked. They were cold. They had their families taken from them. All manner of things happened to those that believe. And yet they are at peace. Can you imagine that? To have your family taken from you? to be ready to have your very life taken from you and to be at perfect peace? This is what God promises. And this is why Nathanael is so incredulous and says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Because it really, present evidence doesn't really show that we are capable of such a thing. And yet we believe it. Those who believe the most are the ones who obtain it the soonest. So, the triumph of orthodoxy is God coming into our heart and making us capable of holiness, of perfection, of happiness. Not partial happiness, not something that goes away, but something that is permanent. This is what God promises. Now, how does He promise this? How is this obtained? If we believe this is possible, at least we believe it intellectually. I mean, after all, we read the scriptures, or we should. We listen in church, and we know that the church promises us to be perfected. And yet we see the evidence of how far we are from perfection, and we look at, unfortunately, ourselves and think, really don't believe the promise. But if we are to obtain this promise, how are we to do it? Jesus gives very simple instructions. Follow me. Now, I said before that many times words are just empty things to people. They just are a definition. The meaning of the sentence, follow me. One could actually study this instruction of the Lord for his entire life and not understand it completely. To follow Christ, that is, to live like He lived, to think like He thinks, to have the priorities that He has, to always consider in a situation, what would your Master do? Not as some sort of cliche that people wear as a bracelet on their wrists, but to follow Christ in everything we do. This is all-encompassing. This leaves no room for anything else in our life. To follow Christ. This is the way of eternal life. So we follow Him. To follow Him, we have to know Him. We have to study Him. We have to understand Him. And we have to obey Him. So it's all-encompassing. It's not just something that occurs in our prayers. It's not something that just occurs in church. It's something that occurs every moment of our life. To follow Him. Don't listen to that voice inside you that says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Let's admit it. All of us have this voice. Because all of us have things that we're just not so good at. We wish we were better, but we're not getting better. So we listen to that voice inside us that says, can any good thing come out of me? Can I really become that good? Yes, you can. And how can you? By following Christ. Is it too simple for you? It's too simple many times for us. Because we want something complex, since we're so complex. Sin is very complex. Virtue is very simple. Virtue can be summed up in love. Virtue could be summed up in follow me. Very simple. Just follow the ways of Christ. So struggle to learn about Him. Struggle to obey Him. Pray to Him. Ask for help. Believe that nothing good comes to you or from you except by God. And you will be saved. It's really quite simple. But following Christ is not just being orthodox, following the fast. Following Christ is to become like Him. If we are to become like Him, we must be full of humility and full of love. If we're full of humility, we recognize in ourselves what is wrong. We don't take credit for things that are good within us because we know God helps us. And without God, we can do nothing. To follow Christ encompasses every action of our life. Or it should. The reason why Christianity is so mediocre is because people don't follow Christ. Oh, they know a few things, and they're sort of like the outer trappings of Christianity. But the following of Christ, now this is a much more difficult thing. But anything that is worthwhile is worth struggling for. We just read about all the saints who did so many things because of faith. They believed that something good could come out of Nazareth. They didn't even see the promise. They died before Christ was born. Now they have seen the promise. But during their life they didn't. We are given the promise. If you open your eyes, it is here. The Lord said the kingdom of heaven is within you. It's not some far distant thing. It's very present and very near. It's within us. If we only believe. So let us follow Christ. And then the good thing will come out of Nazareth. Now, another powerful thing that I think you should say almost in any situation when you have the question, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? It pops up in your head. Why should I struggle? Oh, I'm so tired. I've already done a bunch of terrible things today. Why should I bother to not eat this piece of salami? What good is it? I mean, I've already messed up the day. Whenever you have that sort of thought within you, then say with Philip, come and see. Believe in the promise. You don't understand how the promise is going to be accomplished. We don't know. We can't see the workings of God. But we know that the promise will be accomplished. So let us just say, come and see. So when you are struggling, and when you don't know why you should struggle, why should I continue like this? I don't see any benefit. All I see is becoming tired. All I see is despondency, dejection. I don't see any results. Come and see. If you continue to follow Christ, then you will see. Now Nathanael immediately saw Christ. But Christ even said to him, you'll see greater things than these. Just because I saw you under the fig tree, that you think that's something great. You'll see greater things than these. Nathanael saw the transformation of his own soul to something good and perfect. This is the greater thing that he speaks of. This is the mountain that he speaks of when he says, if you have faith, as little as the mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move, and it will move. That mountain is our Nazareth. That mountain is our own incompetence as human beings. We can say, move away and become good, and it will happen. But just as Nathanael had a course of instruction then from the time he met Christ of 3 years of difficult trials, of 3 years of doing things good and doing things bad, of making mistakes, of learning things from Christ, that period of time educated him. And then throughout the rest of his life as an apostle, he saw the great things fulfilled. Not just in himself, but also in others. So, do you believe that you can really become good and holy and perfect? If you do not believe this, then how come you obtain it? This is what Christ promises. All right. Let us make a compromise then. Because we are weak. God knows we're weak. God knows it's difficult for us to really believe something when we see things that seem to contradict it. So let's make a compromise, all right? Let us, only when we are faced with disbelief, say, come and see. Suspend our disbelief. Say, I will wait and see. I will wait on God, and I will see. And eventually you won't have to make any compromises with your weakness. Because you will be so filled with faith that doubt will not come to you. So let's make this small compromise. We should believe in God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. And that is the goal. Because when we have obtained that goal, there will be perfect peace and perfect happiness. I can hardly wait for that. But in the meantime, when we are faced with doubts, when we are faced with becoming tired, when we don't think we can go another step, when it's difficult to do good, let us say, come and see to ourselves. Just go a little bit farther and see what will happen. And as you go a little bit farther, and a little bit farther, eventually you will reach your destination, which is perfect peace. The triumph of orthodoxy is celebrated within the human heart. The icons depict that Christ is accessible to us because we can see Him, so we can paint Him, we can depict Him. But the triumph is that Christ helps us to reach perfect peace, perfect happiness, if we only would follow Him. So, brothers and sisters, let us listen to Philip. Let us come and see. The rest of our life, let us wait on Christ. We will not be disappointed.